This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, many of you know we just finished 12 weeks in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, a series called Prepped or Panicked about the second coming of Christ. It was right in the middle of that series that we had Father's Day 2013. Today and all this week, you're hearing excerpts from that message given on Father's Day this year. It's a powerful passage we study. In fact, several people said, I had no idea that scripture you read was in the Bible, because it's powerful in what it says about people who disregard and disrespect, have contempt for their parents. Listen and see what I mean. This man was talking about growing up in a Midwest church, and he said every year on Mother's Day, mothers were elevated, mothers were lauded, mothers were saints, and everything was done to praise moms. And he said when Father's Day came around at his church, at least, he said the minister beat up on the dads. You know, you guys aren't worth your salt, you guys aren't doing this, you're not doing that. And I could relate to that, because I think there's sometimes in our culture, there is a tendency to do that. Not that mothers don't deserve the praise and adoration, but sometimes we do that on Mother's Day and then fathers are slammed. Well, today's not one of those messages. It's a message about young people, even adult children, listening to their fathers and taking the counsel of their fathers. And get this, showing respect for their fathers for this simple reason. The Lord takes very seriously the man or woman who shows a disregard for their mother or father in a way that'll blow your mind today when I read it to you. Most of you have not even read this verse, perhaps, how strongly the Lord feels about people who show disregard to their parents. We're going to read a passage of scripture out of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament that has things to do with living on the street. Psalms is a book about in the worship center, in the sanctuary. Proverbs is about living on the street. It's very practical. And I want you to hear some verses. My guess is some of you have never heard before, especially the latter verses I'm going to read, about the relationship between parents and their children, particularly even grown children to their parents. It's in chapter 23, beginning at verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. And then chapter 30, verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are pure in their own eyes, yet are not cleansed of their filth. And then verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. Now that's so graphic. I not only want you to listen to that again, I'm going to comment on it right away. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. I read that to someone this week on the phone. They said, Randy, that's figurative. You know what I said? I sure hope so. I sure hope so that it's figurative. What that's talking about was a humiliating, and we don't understand it in our culture, but in the Middle East, they would understand that a humiliating death was to die outside with nobody covering your body. I'm being pretty graphic here, but that's what it was about. The most humiliating death was to die, you know, in the desert. Nobody there with you. Nobody there to prepare your body for burial. And the vultures come and do with you what they please. And that's the punishment. The Lord says in Proverbs, that's what happens to the man who mocks his father. God takes very seriously how we treat our parents. That's all the message. You don't go home with anything else today. You say to yourself, the one thing I remember today is God takes seriously the disregard and disrespect and the despising of a parent. I begin with this story by Celeste, who's a school teacher, junior high school teacher in Fort Myers, Florida. As a means to promote creative thinking in my language arts class, I asked the seventh grade students to write a sentence or two, just a sentence or two. Here was the topic. If you could see anything in the world, anything at all, just by wishing, no restrictions, what would it be? Just trying to provoke some thought. Students put their best wishes to paper, pens scurrying along the lines, tongues put in the corner of their mouths in deep thought or at least determination. Later that night, I read the response, a wish to see Mars, to walk on the bottom of the ocean, to see Paris, France. Then one paper hit me like a laser. One sentence, I would like to see my real father again. I just would like to see my real father again. Although I'd asked for a few sentences, this solitary sentence seemed to suffice. Divorce and single parenthood seem to be more prevalent in our advanced society than families intact. In fact, I've overheard a student exclaim, "Really?" when a classmate said that both of her parents still lived at home. But I'm not speaking of that issue. It's the dads, the fathers, the one-day grandfathers who matter. Of course, as a woman, I'm not in any way discounting the importance of mothers, but today I'm sharing a lesson that began 6 years ago in my life with that one sentence, "I wish I could see my dad one more time." Then she writes this. This is really profound. This year, a popular, clumsy, and quite smart boy who didn't see himself that way proudly shared details about his dad's height, which he inherited, his dad's service in the Navy, his love of reading, another gift from Dad. I asked him if his dad had been to the open house, trying to recall if I had met him as the teacher. "Oh no," he said, "I haven't seen him in years. I don't even know where he is. Then he paused, let his hair cover his tearful eyes, and said, "I just wish I could see him once again. Just once. Let's go back to chapter 23. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old." What does it mean to listen? It just doesn't mean to hear words. It doesn't mean even just to pay attention. It means to heed. You know, it's one thing to hear somebody's advice. It's another thing to heed advice. Do you follow me? "Oh yeah, I heard him. And total disregard. But it's to heed your father's advice, presuming and assuming that your father is giving you wisdom, giving you discernment. Look at the next phrase, "Do not despise your mother when she's old." Do you know what it means to despise? It means to be dismissive. It's saying, "What does she know? What difference does it make what she thinks? Her opinion doesn't count." And you know what? People do that with their spouses. People do that with their children. And we do it with parents. I want you to bring up the next verse that we had in that passage. "Buy the truth and do not sell it." Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. What did he say, or what did he mean by "buy the truth"? Here's what he meant. The truth is the most important thing in your life, in a sense. And Jesus claimed to be the truth. So buying the truth and do not sell it, in the New Testament sense, would mean having a relationship with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, we're excited about the new look to our website. Not only can you listen to a past message you missed, but you can listen to the entire week at one time in the compilation choice on the website. That's crosshope.org, crosshope.org. God bless you.
Those of you that listened to our radio program this week may remember me quoting a psychologist talking about the word "believe," where this psychologist says there are a lot of people who don't believe anything that anybody tells them, and that may include some of you. You may not believe your parents, you don't believe the people you work with, you don't believe your brothers and sisters, you don't believe anybody. You only believe in you, in what you say. And here's what he said. If that's the case with you, he says, it's vitally important that you tell yourself the truth. If you're the only person that you believe, then it makes a big difference to know that you tell yourself the truth. Truth about what? About your sin. Isn't it amazing how there are men who minimize what they do and maximize what their wife does that's wrong? And there are wives who minimize what they do and maximize what their husbands do. And we see that in every relationship in life. And it's very important for you and for me to tell ourselves the truth about what's going on in our life. When you find out that you've been lying to yourself, it's time to change. When you discover you have been lying to you,
then it's time to make changes in your life. I really believe that. In verse 23 says, get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. You know what that says to me? That part of being a father is helping your children to find truth, to find wisdom and insight, discipline and understanding. Max Lucado has a book where all he does in the book is put at the top of the page questions that people have asked him over the years as a writer. He writes this question, and I want you to hear the answer. Question: I have one child in middle school and another starting to drive. Am I wrong to worry? It's the understatement of the century, isn't it? I have one child in middle school and another starting to drive. Am I wrong to worry? Here's his answer. No, you are a parent. And Jesus heeds the concern of a parent's heart. After all, our kids were his kids first. Somebody didn't hear that. I want to read that again. Our kids were his kids first. Don't you know that children are a heritage of the Lord? Psalm 127:3. Before they were ours, they were his. Even as they are ours, they are still his. We tend to forget this, regarding our children as our children, as though we have the final say in their health and their welfare and their future. We don't. All people are God's people, including the small people who sit at your table. Wise are the parents who regularly give their children back to God. Wise are the parents who regularly give their children back to God. I love this next paragraph of Max Lucado's. Here's what he says. Jesus said so little about parenting. He made no comments about spanking, breastfeeding, sibling rivalry, or schooling. Yet his actions spoke volumes about prayer. Each time a parent prayed, Christ responded. His big message to moms and dads is this: bring your children to me. Bring your children to me. That's the message to parents. Raise them in a greenhouse of prayer. Raise them in a greenhouse of prayer. When you send them off for the day, do so with a blessing. When you tell them good night, cover them with your prayers. Is your daughter stumped by geography homework? Pray with her about it. Is your son intimidated by the new girl at school? Pray with him about her. Pray that your children will have a profound sense of place in this world and a heavenly place in the next. God never dismisses a parent's prayer. Becky is from Birmingham, Alabama. One particular thing I believe about family is the power of the protection of fathers. The best fathers are always there for you no matter what. They help you through the ups and downs in life and try to always make sure you're safe. I know that I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for my father's protection. It all started, you see, when I was 3 years old. It was vacation time and I couldn't wait to get to the pool because I loved playing in my little 2 feet deep wading pool at home. Being so young at the time, I didn't realize that pools could be deeper than 2 feet, let alone what 2 feet meant. Once we got to this big gleaming pool, everyone was ready for a fun time, and I was ecstatic. My mom was pregnant at the time with my soon-to-be little sister. My mother couldn't get into the water. My younger brother was so small that he was only allowed to sit on the stairs with my dad and splash his feet into the water. So my older sister and I were the only ones to venture into the deeper water. I remember my sister was holding onto the wall and making her way to the little waterfall playing onto the surface of the water. As I edged my way along, my sister motioned me to come further, deeper into the pool. When the bottom of the pool fell away, I quickly found myself dunking below the water, being confused and trapped. I kept attempting to push myself up to the top with my hands and my feet, making such a disturbance in the water, I was sure someone would come over to help. But nobody came. The pool was crowded and everyone was looking right at me and they just stood there as if they were frozen in time. I had the sudden thought in my little toddler 3-year-old mind that no one was going to help me. After what felt like a lifetime, I heard a splash. The next thing I knew, I was out of the water, sputtering and coughing. And it was all thanks to my dad, the only one who not only understood that I was in trouble, he knew he had to do something to save me. Isn't that interesting? Her experience, what a powerful memory in the life of a woman to remember when she was 3 years old, probably ready to drown. But Dad came in just at the right minute to save her and bring her up out of the water. What's my point? As dramatic a story as that is, you know what's even more pathetic and sadder than that? Of children who are drowning in the culture, and there's no dad to pull them out. Children who are drowning in the morality and the morass, what we call morality today, and there's no dad to say, that's not what we believe, that's not what the Word of God says, that's not where the hope is, that's not what you follow, everybody else is going this way, but you see, you're not a cookie cutter replica of everybody else, and the world may be going downstream, but you're swimming upstream. No one to lift them up of where the culture is taking them today. That's a tragedy. As terrible as it is to think about a little three-year-old girl possibly losing her life as the bottom dropped out of the pool, and all of us could picture that moment. We've been in a pool where the bottom dropped out. There are a lot of children in their teenage years, the bottom's dropping out in their life, something that's going on at school. The bottom's dropping out in their life and something that's happening in their personal morality, in their relationship with other people. The bottom's dropping out in a lot of ways, and nobody's there. And they're looking up, and no one's there. And that's part of being a father, to be the one who helps to protect. Ultimately, the Lord does, and we trust our children. As Max Lucado said, we give our children repeatedly back to the Lord. But the Lord placed you in that position for a reason. Pray that your children will have a profound sense of place in this world and a heavenly place in the next. God never dismisses a parent's prayer. All of that to say, this is what Proverbs is saying, buy the truth. Get wisdom, get insight, get discernment from the Lord, get understanding. That happens when godly parents cover their children in prayer. I mentioned this in the first service, even parenthetically, it wasn't in my notes, but I'm amazed at moms and dads who are adamant that their son get to know the right people at school athletically. They're adamant that their son or daughter get to know the right friends at school, and I want you to connect with the good kids. I want you to connect with the popular kids, perhaps. I want you to connect with the scholarly kids or the athletic kids. And in so many homes, nothing is ever said. I want you to have a relationship with the God who made you. Nothing is said. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is the resurrection and the life. That's not even mentioned. It doesn't even get a subtle secondary or third mention in their lives. And yet that's what it means to be a parent. Let's go to this rough chapter 30 that has that pretty graphic thing. Verse 11, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Do you know why you need to take that seriously, that phrase right there? For this reason. In the Old Testament times, this was a capital offense. Do you understand that? That was a capital offense. To curse your dad meant you died. It was like murder. And we think nothing in our culture today in 2013 of cursing dad and cursing mom and despising dad and despising mom. There's a casualness of spirit when it comes to parents. And when I read that, one of the commentaries said, remember, this was a capital offense in Old Testament times. And I said, that's right. People died because they cursed their fathers. Verse 12 says, there are those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. Note the reference to the eyes. Eyes are always associated in the Bible with two things, seduction and pride. In other words, the only thing I can find in the Bible about what we do with their eyes, men and women both can use eyes to help seduce people. It's a tool of seduction. But also the eyes reflect pride. It talks about the seven things God hates in the book of Proverbs, and it says the first thing is haughty eyes, eyes that are looking up to look down on somebody. And isn't it interesting, the connection between the son or daughter who curses his father and despises his mother probably is a person of pride? Is it always that way? No, I'm not saying it is, but there's linkage. Sometimes, not always, the attitude that we manifest toward our parents is a little bit of a reflection of how we reflect toward God. Is that always true? No. And I wouldn't be so arrogant as to say it's always true. But sometimes your attitude toward your dad or toward your mom may be a little reflection of your attitude to the God who made you and the God who sent his son to die for you. And that's something to think about on this Father's Day, 2013. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your marriage. He's got a plan for your family. And that plan involves you having a regard for the Lord and honoring your parents and blessing your children. It all ties in together.
Well, as we close, a reminder, a new series begins next week on Cross Hope. And speaking of Cross Hope, brand new website we'd like for you to look at called crosshope.org, a revised and updated website we're excited about. That's crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening each day.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.